yeah, after everything that the Bears went through, we have now made our way back to the kicker conversation.
Even to the point where the end of that game in large part recapitulated the playoff loss. You had a shaky Mitchell Trubisky have one of his best drives of the day, making consecutive clutch throws and spinning out of trouble. Like, okay, maybe this thing's starting to come together. Maybe when all is said and done, Mitch was able to give him a chance, and then you miss the kick.
Right. It would be funny if it wasn't so rage-inducing.
I had a really interesting conversation with a friend of mine who I just saw yesterday, and he said, I was at the game. He doesn't go to a lot of games. He said I was at the game. He said it was one of the most entertaining Bears games I've ever been to as a fan. I said, wait, what? He said the behavior of the crowd. He said being in that crowd, and you could hear it on the broadcast, but he was explaining to me just hearing some of the sardonic reaction there in the building and how on top of it Bears fans were, how aware they were of how bad it was, the booing at the half, it was like everybody was in front of their television doing what we were all doing, but it was this shared emotion. He said it was hilarious. He said it actually was down to the final kick, the whole thing, the experience as a fan, even though it's all like, yeah, go Bears, it was the shared understanding of what was occurring. He described as immensely entertaining. And I said, I've got a term, fun bad. He said, yeah, it wasn't just the fun bad. It wasn't just watching them do comical things out there. It was the fact that everybody in that building felt the same way about all of it at the same time. There was just enough like, hey, maybe they could win this thing. Nah, I'm not going to win this thing. And like, what are they doing inside the 10? And I thought it was kind of cool to hear this very perceptive description of a very specific sort of mob mentality.
I was there.
The fire drill at the end of the first half.
Oh, it's amazing.
I agree with you, Dan. Like, listening to the reaction and like,
why are we doing?
Like, how is this not together? Right. How? And then it ends with them making the kick. You take the lead, and you're booed off the field.
Yeah, and Bregman was all over it, too.
Because Bears fans are like, that's not what it's supposed to look like. It's not supposed to look like that now, at this point in a tenure of a head coach.
Not this head coach.
It's not your quarterback. This is now another example of your quarterback. After when things aren't completely laid out for him, his ability to then maneuver without being told is impossible.
This was the problem I had with him on the scramble for the first down, where they then kneel it and then kick it. He pops up, celebrates, pumps the fist.
Get your ass back to the huddle.
There are 4 seconds that go by before they get a gift, and Los Angeles calls the timeout, and you can see, you can watch that the camera's on Mitch the whole time. Timeout gets called, he turns his head around, and the look on his face is, oh my God, did I just blow a timeout for us? I forgot we had to run another play. Thankfully, it wasn't them that had to burn the timeout. It was Los Angeles instead. But this kid's not looking. And this is a coach that's already had problems with that kid not looking.
This offense is just painful to watch.
The headset goes out on Matt Nagy just the other week.
And you saw the panic.
He is screaming at 10 and has to pull him back to the sideline for a second talking to, because he knows damn well he didn't hear the first one. I mean, my God.
It's a lot.
Have fun today, Laura.
Oh, I plan, because let me just tell you guys before you walk out of here, I am going to tear my production staff apart today.
You should. You really should.
Tony Gill and Rick Camp are going to get it.
Everything today is their fault.
Wow.
Okay. They're going to get it today.
All right.
And they have earned it. They have earned this ass chapping that they are about to get. You're listening to WSCR HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago. Sports Radio 670, The Score, a radio.com sports station. The top of the hour is being brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Northwestern Football at Ryan Field this fall when the Wildcats host Purdue and Minnesota in Big Ten play. Single game tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team are on sale now at nusports.com. And the hour is being brought to you by Hawthorne Racecourse. More horses, more races, and more action. We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios. Visit your local Hyundai dealer and test drive the Hyundai Palisade today. Tony, let's go.
And I mean the fans are living.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on the Lawrence Holmes Show.
He's a very convenient target. Mitchell Trubisky is a super convenient target. And the more he stays on the field, the easier it is for the Bears to be like, well, I mean, look. I mean, you see it. Look at this guy. Look at this quarterback that hasn't gotten better and in fact has gotten worse. How can that only be on him? How can it only be on Mitch that he's gotten worse? Isn't there some responsibility that the coach has to take in that regard? Isn't there some responsibility that the coach has to take in what's happening in the red zone yesterday? You were disgusted with what you saw in the red zone, and you should have been.
Make me a bicycle, clown!
And now the kicker is like, you know, I really would have preferred if they'd have put the ball a little closer to the middle of the field so I could play that fade. And then maybe we win the game. We're back at the kicker again. It's so great. Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes. I'm here with you until 2 o'clock today. The Bears are on the docket of things that we are going to discuss on today's show, along with us talking about the Cubs. And, we need to talk about the Bulls. Where'd Rick Camp go? Where'd he go, Tony?
Dodging the smoke.
Yeah. Fine. You're both going to get the smoke. You're going to get it. You're going to get it. Just stupid basketball and hopes and dreams. I knew what I was going to see when this season started, and damn it, I'm seeing it. But no, I mean, you two idiots convinced me that things might be better. You're telling me all summer about Thomas Zadaransky. Son of a... All right, we start the show as we start all things with the rundown.
Just faxing. My dad. A rundown.
The rundown.
Here is your rundown for Tuesday, October 29th. We're going to start with the Cubs, and David Ross was introduced yesterday at his press conference. Hear his thoughts on keeping the team accountable.
Well, if you, I know there's a big fun-loving Grandpa Rossi, theme out there. But if you ask any of my friends or ex-players, you know, what kind of teammate I was, I didn't shy away from the tough conversations. I know there's a strong relationship with me and John Lester. If I would have been mic'd up for some of those conversations on the mound, they were rarely friendly conversations. So I think there's a little bit of a misconception of maybe the fun-loving Grandpa Rossi, which I love and I'm very thankful for, but I don't think that's me in the dugout as much as I would love to say that I'm that guy. I just, to the core, I'm a guy that has a lot of expectations when I come into work. I'm very professional. I expect professionalism. And those traits I talk about, the effort, the accountability, I don't shy away from having those tough conversations, good or bad. I know these guys, I hope to build their trust and respect. They will have mine. I hope to gain theirs. But the Grandpa Rossi thing is a little bit overblown. If people that really know me, I think some of the media that sees me day to day knows that.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people who cover the team have been telling me. He's got an interesting job that's in front of him, but I'm not sure that him being the manager versus Joe will matter if the Cubs don't start making some really hard decisions about what their roster looks like. I think that's a key component of this. And I think that's why there hasn't been a real reaction to the David Ross hiring other than, oh, that's about what I thought they would end up doing. Because I think most Cubs fans are looking at them going, is the manager really the issue or was it roster construction? And I think it's a legitimate question. Moving on to your Chicago Bulls. And the Knicks getting off the deck like the Undertaker to take them down.
Another toss up, out, long rebound, Barrett to the rim, good. You've got to be kidding me. 98-97 Bulls, R.J. Barrett from Toronto, and 1 year at Duke, third drafted overall with a 17.5 assist game and 14 rebounds. Levine on the inbounds, in play to Carter, back to Zach Levine, Top side three, no. Rebound, New York, and the Knicks can take the lead right here. They're on a 7-0 run. Barrett at the point. Barrett off a screen from Randall. Double on the ball. Randall in the paint. Near corner, Portis on a pump. Step back. Left side three. Got it. And the New York Knicks with their first lead of the ball game with 1:47 to go in regulation. 100-98. Second attempt. No. Rebound. Randall with the tap back to Portis. And Portis is going to dribble it out. And with 2 seconds to go, Portis still dribbling the ball right in front of his bench. And this ball game is over as the New York Knicks scored the last 15 points of the contest and beat the Bulls 105-98.
Yeah, that's right. If you didn't listen to the Bulls game here on The Score, and thanks to Chuck and Bill for the highlights, the Bulls were playing great, and then they stopped playing altogether. The Knicks rattled off 15 in a row to win the game. How many did Bobby Portis have? What, he had 28? Yeah. That's what ended up happening last night. Your new Chicago Bulls. We'll keep talking about them. Jim Boylan said, not upset. He's actually encouraged by what happened yesterday.
That's where we have to grow. I'm not disappointed. I saw a lot of things that we did better, and I saw us come together and play the right way for a lot of that game. And we're going to learn from our mistakes, and we're going to grow. And I'm encouraged.
I love you, Jim, but I saw at the most important time of the game your team not play together, and guys playing hero ball, and Zach LaVine just dribbling indiscriminately into the front court without a real plan on what to do with the ball. And Lauri Markkanen, yet again, fade into the background.
Ghost.
Yes!
Ghost.
And you had two starters that combined for 9 points in Otto Porter and your guy, Tony, Thomas Zadaransky. Your guy. You and Campy, that's your guy. He's on your fan ERA, as Herbie would say. Zach LaVine says this L hurts.
You can see him chipping away at the lead, but it's upsetting. It's bad. You know, we won that game. You know, we were supposed to. We were up for 42 minutes of the game, something like that. So it's really upsetting, but you can't do anything about it now. You got to keep working. We just got to do better down the stretch, man. It's been our MO for a while now. You know, we got to learn how to finish games and learn how to win. But, you know, this one hurt because, you know, we played really good throughout the whole game.
Until the last 5 minutes of it. It's not great. This texter asked a great question. Why did Coby White only play 15 minutes last night? Exactly! Only the Bulls. It's the easy part of their schedule. They're 1-3. Lost to the Knicks? Do you know that Tony made fun of the Knicks during the game last night? Said, thank God the Bulls aren't the Knicks. And then immediately the Knicks were like, we saw that, Tony. So now he ends up on Freezing Cold Takes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fam, it's the Knicks.
Exactly. Unbelievable. On to the Bears. Matt Nagy said yesterday that he's hoping to find some strength and leadership even in these tough times.
You really know. You find out who's real and who's not real. That's what I love about this. And so for me, I'm a pretty, I can handle things myself. So it doesn't, I got that, I have that in me. So I kind of enjoy it. No, I don't want to lose, but it's like, hey, let's go. You're going to be at a point now. You're going to test us. So let's roll. Let's stick together. Let's freaking go.
Okay. And maybe the players will do that. Eddie Jackson has a tip for you when it comes to your viewing of games at Soldier Field.
It sucks. Like, it's just like, you know, when you go out there, you're like, oh, yeah, we got the greatest fans in the world. But then when you start hearing that, it's like, come on, man. Like, y'all cheering and then y'all boo. Y'all cheering and then y'all boo. It's like, I just feel like we should just pick a side. Like, I get it. I, like I said, man, I, it's everyone sees it on the sideline. You know, that was like the talk when after the game, like we talked to the player, like, bro, like y'all hit him, like y'all, like they really out there, they cheering, then they booing. You know, they boo Mitch, then he do a great scramble, everybody's cheering. Like, so it's like, you're going to pick a side, you're going to ride with us, and you're not.
Bears are playing a really dangerous game from a public relations standpoint. Because you know what side most people are inclined to take right now? Not yours, fam. And you can't tell me that in your mind you're not doing the same thing. You're seeing Mitch make a bad play, and then occasionally he makes a good one. There are a lot of things wrong with what happened on Sunday. And I think that the fans' expression of their displeasure with the mechanisms that the Bears have in place, not the effort, guys tried real hard, and that's appreciated, but this stuff was supposed to be better. We were promised jetpacks, and you're a team that's averaging 18 points a game. All right, that'll do it for the rundown today. Now let me talk a little bit about Tony and Campy and why I'm mad at them today. Here's why I'm mad. You know me, when it comes to the Bulls, I'm pretty skeptical. Because there's a lot of evidence that supports my skepticism that they haven't been good. And the promises that you hear in the preseason and the moves that they make in the offseason, you go, oh, that's probably not going to work. Because you're conditioned as a Bulls fan for stuff to not work. These two guys that work on this show are hoop heads. They know the game. They love basketball. I'm a man who loves basketball, but I'm not in the weeds on the game like they are. So I lean on them a lot for their thoughts when it comes to the upcoming season or players or whatever. I'm sitting here listening to Rick Camp, Tony Gill, talk to me about Bulls basketball. Tony's out there covering the team now. Like, he's at practices. He's talking to people. And I'm like, all right, yeah. Yeah, I like what these guys are talking about. Well, the Bulls might actually be better. I did a whole LoHo podcast on this, LoHo Daily podcast on it. I do this every year. Every year before the NBA season starts, I go, man, the Bulls might be better. I fall for the banana in the tailpipe every single year. And then the first game, I'm like, okay, Lauri Markkanen. Yeah. Lauri Markkanen playing with aggression. Yeah. That's what I like to see. Where you at, fam? You're supposed to be the guy that's taking the step. You're supposed to be what I'm supposed to get excited about with this franchise. Because you bums told me about this. Zach LaVine went to Kobe camp. Yeah, he went to Kobe camp. And you know what he didn't learn? How to play defense. You know what he did learn? How to become a black hole when the ball comes to him. I think he took the wrong lessons away. And I'm like... Like, I just want to be a Bulls fan that we all looked at the schedule. I saw Goff on TV, and Goff and Will and Kendall were like, look at this schedule. And I was like, yeah, look at that schedule. Yes, the Bulls might be able to start off 6-4 in their first 10. Now, they still can. They could rattle off 5 out of 6, I guess. But the same things that you saw at the end of last season are the same things that you're seeing at the beginning of this season. And someone's like, it's early. I get it. But this is the soft part of their schedule. Once we get into November, things are going to get more difficult. You're going to see teams like Milwaukee. And I'm just like, again, I fell for it again. I'm sitting there on the couch doing laundry going, I fell for it again because of you two bumps.
Yeah. Man. I mean, again, it is early. It's only the fourth game. But regardless, that's a game that Faye needed to have. They already lost one with Charlotte. Where these teams are the teams you're supposed to be over now.
Yes,
like none of this flaky.
You're even or better than them.
Right.
That this is supposed to be teams. Like, I'm not looking for them to beat this year's version of the Lakers or even Toronto. Like, I know Toronto's better than they are, But you can't tell me that Charlotte is better than them. And the Knicks, really?
Yeah, they lost to two teams that were projected to be at the bottom of the East this year. Like, that